Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Okay, we entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunabout. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunabout.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes, motion carried. Next is the approval of the minutes of the October 7th, 2025 meeting and the October 5th, 2025 meeting. Are there any questions, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, they'll stand as approved. Reading of correspondence. Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Okay. Moving along, now's the time for public comment. Everyone will have 3 minutes to comment on something the county council has clear jurisdiction over. When the green light comes on, up at the path, 3 minutes. When the amber light comes on, you'll have 1 minute. And when the red light comes on, I'm going to wrap it up. And first, Judy Rose Seibert.
Green light, that's good. Good morning, I'm Judy Rose Seibert. Nice to see you all this morning. I would like to make a request. You know, on the agenda where it says introduction of proposed zoning ordinances, many times you all have several ordinances planned to introduce, and yet they aren't itemized on the agenda. And I believe that this doesn't give the public as much information as it could were listed on the agenda. Because I know sometimes we review the agendas before meetings and there's nothing listed there. And, you know, if you don't listen to the meeting, you may not know of those nuances that were given until the minutes are approved, and that might till a month later. So please list new ordinances on the agenda, just like other agenda items. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Stephen Lee.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to make a comment about Atlantic Fields. I live about a quarter of a mile to a half mile.
There's going to be a public hearing on that today, and that would be the appropriate speak on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, seeing no one else, operator online, please, see if anybody wants to comment.
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Okay, seeing.
Mr. President, before we go on, I think it'd be appropriate for us to let the gentleman know that that hearing will be until this afternoon, so that if he's waiting through it, it might be a long wait, so. 1:30 would be the hearing time.
And the neighbors in the area are against it because...
Excuse me, sir. No, we weren't asking you to speak. We just said it won't be until 30.
I thought you were calling me back.
No, I'm sorry.
1:30?
Yeah. All
right. And that was not first on the list, so... Okay, was a public comment. Next is a presentation by Mr. James Atkins. Oh. Okay, all right. Please come on up and give us your name and address, please. I'm sorry, I didn't see you back there.
I just came in. Apologize. Good morning. My name's Pierre Felton, and I'm from Seaford, Delaware. Do you need an exact address or?
And you didn't hear this, but when the green light comes on, you'll have 3 minutes. When the air comes on, you'll have 1 minute, and when the red light comes on, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up.
All right. Again, the reason I am here, I'm finding that I am unable to enjoy my unalienable right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The reason for that is noise pollution that's being produced by my neighbor. I have been in contact with government agencies and they're unwilling to enforce it. But it's my understanding that there is no ordinance or in the unincorporated city limits of Seaford to protect that right. And this has been ongoing since September of 2021. I've been in contact with the state police. I've been in contact with the Department of Natural Resources. I have been in contact with my senator, Brian Pettyjohn, his office. They are actually investigating this on my behalf on numerous occasions, and I'm told at every end that I don't have any rights because I don't live in the incorporated area of Seaford. And so I've also spoken with Councilman Matt Lloyd. That was a week ago. And I left a message with the Community Involvement Advisory Council in Dover, did not get a response. So I live in Pond Haven and have several neighbors. I'm not sure that they've reached out to the state police, but the relief that I'm requesting is that, like, again, it's my understanding an ordinance doesn't exist, and I would like for someone to consider enacting some type of ordinance for the unincorporated areas of Sussex County so that we are protected. The home values where I live are upwards of $350,000, $450,000. And for all of us in that area, we should be able to enjoy our homes. I've actually sat in my living room and recorded the noise of my neighbor, and it's music, just so you know. It's not farm equipment, it's nothing like that. It's literally people that like to party. My husband works at night, and this person does this in the evening. On his days off, he works the same time that my husband does, which is 12 midnight to about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And we respect him. And so I know that there has to be more complaints than just from me, from my neighbors, and you know, those in my area. There has to be. And I'm sure this hasn't come up before. It's clear in, I got 10 seconds, clear in Delaware Code Title 7, Chapter 71, that DENREC has that authority. Nobody is enforcing it. So I'm hoping someone will take this, provide some action.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Operator, would you check online, please, to make sure nobody's on?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment at this point. Next is a presentation by Mr. James Adkins.
Good morning.
And good morning.
Thank you for taking the time to let me share some of the great work that's going on just down Route 9. Out of the Carville Research and Education Center. So I'm going to share a little bit about our colleagues. We appreciate your support over the years and want you to be fully informed as what were you doing with your money. So first and foremost, just a refresher that it includes more than just the Carville building itself. We've got a research station south of Harbison consisting of about 120 acres. We've got the poultry diagnostic lab that services not just Delaware, but the surrounding region and the poultry integrators as far as disease and necropsy and other diagnostic issues. We've got the main research farm, almost 350 acres, the Dill Farm just west of that, and then the Jones Hamilton Research Poultry Facility. All these are supporting Delaware agriculture and the community. Back a few years ago, there was a pitch to you guys to upgrade our greenhouse facilities, and which you generously supported some planning funding to get that going. That project is currently on pause. There was some initial designs done that, in my opinion, were a little ambitious for us to be able to maintain and staff. So we're reevaluating the true need in our facility for this and potentially scaling it down with a redesign. It was just a little bit more than what we think we could maintain on an adequate basis for the next few decades. That money is still sitting still, ready for to be used for the design process. I want to highlight some of the great work in the community that our 4-H folks are doing. We've got a number of volunteers in that program, almost 80 in the county, supporting 400 4-H efforts, and highlight Ms. Caitlin Johnson out of Selbyville. She's currently a junior at University of Delaware. She received the Diamond Clover Award, which is the 4-H equivalent of Eagle Scout. A pretty big accomplishment for her. We're really proud of all the work that's going on around the county in that space. And our health and well-being folks, both from financial management, health, and other efforts, are making a big impact throughout the community. Their efforts have pretty widespread, both through schools and community organizations. Our Master Gardener Club, those folks provide a lot of volunteer hours to support agriculture, ornamental horticulture in this area. They're their first line of defense. They're the first phone calls that come into our office, run through these Master Gardener volunteers to help diagnose a soil problem, a disease problem, anything in that front. And they're our biggest asset to both our facility and the county and state. Can't forget the agricultural research outreach. We have field days perpetually, some of them very specific for very specific crops. Usually we call them a twilight tour. We also have our big Carville field days. This year was the best attendance we've had in 2 decades. That effort is growing. We've getting a better outreach and better participation. We love having folks at this facility, and I want to give a blanket invitation to everybody here to visit us. We'd love to give you a personalized tour to see the dedicated research that's going on in our facility. Highlight over some of our state specialists housed out here at the Carville facility, anywhere from pathology and poultry to engineering and entomology. These are the experts for the state that used to be housed on main campus that are now housed down here. It gives better direct access for our farmers and our community to the state specialists. One I want to highlight is the pathology team led by Alyssa Betts, the lady in the center. She's got a collection of grad students and research technicians that are really advancing the plant pathology research and extension outreach that's going on locally. And part of your funding went to upgrade a building, renovate a building that had been used, been vacant for probably 5 or 6 years, to make a sterile clean lab for this qPCR machine. And just to share the importance of this equipment, it needs to be in a sterile environment, but it allows the pathology team to identify plant pathogens and then add a quantification to that as to how many there are out there. That has a multiplier effect. That piece of equipment has enabled this program to have access to almost $1 million worth of grant funding because they had the equipment. So there's a multiplier effect to your investment in our facility, and we greatly appreciate that. Our Lasher Lab Diagnostics, they had a really busy winter with avian influenza. Those folks were testing. They were running long hours, a lot of overtime, cooperating with the Maryland lab and the lab in Newark to test our poultry flocks to help find out. Everything had to be tested before it could go to a processing plant, and most of it went through this lab. So they were getting approval through these. They're doing great work over there. Our farm business management folks are doing a great effort right now, from small farms to our poultry farms to the challenges with profitability in the grain system. These folks are all over the state helping farmers with business plans. And we continue to have outreach. We welcome folks to use our facilities and our meeting space. It is here to serve the county, and we hope people take full advantage of that resource. Finally, we're the headquarters for Delaware Agriculture Week. We have about 1,200 people that run through that 4-day event up on Harrington Fairgrounds. I encourage you all to attend to see just the extent of going on, what's going on in the facility. And with that, I thank you and entertain any questions anybody has for things that are going on at Carver.
Anyone have any questions?
I'd go ahead. Make a comment or two. I think your assessment of the Lasher Lab is very modest because it is. We've had the opportunity to tour it, and of course, as a poultry farmer, I'm aware of what you do there. And it's one of the very best in the entire world, and that's not an exaggeration.
They have built a reputation as definitely being the best in the region and in the country. That they're the go-to place and can do things that nobody else can do.
It is a very impressive operation out there. We had an application for a greenhouse complex, which just north of Bridgeville, which I think is on hold currently, 20 acres under roof. I personally think that the greenhouse industry is something that's got a lot of potential here on Delmarva. So I'd be very pleased if that research continues and if you're able to,
So for clarification, the proposed research greenhouse facility is more to support the ag research level there, not the ornamental horticulture efforts. Mm-hmm. But there is a search process going on for an ornamental horticulture specialist that has just been initiated, I think, this past week on main campus that would be working directly in that space that would be the best source for advice and advisement as far as that industry goes, more so than the pathology, entomology, weed science, and vegetable research that would be going on down the road.
Yeah, hopefully that's something that's on the radar at some point, because the facility that we reviewed and approved was to grow strawberries for the regional consumption. Think of New York City, Philadelphia, high-end markets. They were going to be charging, you know, high dollars for these strawberries. And I do think because of our proximity to those markets that there is an opportunity there. And it's a way for smaller farmers to actually be able to be productive and profitable. And if they're profitable, they're not selling to to other people.
The true words have been spoken.
Yeah, so the land might stay in agriculture, which is something I think we all would like to see. So
correct.
Just I'd be very happy if that program continues to grow. And
so I'd like to invite you to come visit us and meet with our vegetable specialist, who's doing a lot of work with hot tunnels, low tunnels, and other production systems along that same line.
I think Deltec does some work there too.
Deltec's in that space, and so is Del State.
Yeah.
Very good. Anyone else?
It's great to see you, Mr. Atkins, and certainly in my past life, I spent a couple decades, relying on these very people you mentioned and saw firsthand. You mentioned, the vegetable extension specialist yourself. The man standing in front of you spent countless hours in the fields, developing equipment to help make Delaware agriculture better. So I commend your efforts.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for coming in. Okay, next is County Administrator's Report. Mr. Lawson.
Thanks, James. Good seeing you. Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's Report for October 21st. Item 1, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for September is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 195 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of September. Item 2, a reminder, the council will not meet on Tuesday, October 28th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on Tuesday, November 4th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Next, Ms. Brandy Nauman. Morning.
Good morning, everyone. So I am here this morning to seek your approval to submit an application to the Delaware State Housing Authority for what I think is a very timely application. So there was a Senate Joint Resolution 8, SJR 8, that was recently enacted by the Delaware General Assembly. It was signed by the governor in August that allows DSHA to establish a pilot program, which is known as the Technical Assistance for Zoning and Land Use Reform Program. And the application closes at the end of this month, actually, but it does allow participating jurisdictions to select from a whole menu of potential land use reforms that they want to pursue. There's, I think, about 8, and I think we kind of pursue most of them, or at least consider most of them. And so this is something that I'd like, I think that it works really well with what you just heard last week from the Land Use Reform Working Group, the report that included 20 recommendations. A lot of those obviously pertain to land use and affordable housing. So I think this would allow for us to really begin working pretty quickly on some of those policies and ordinances that we discussed. So I did, in talking with DSHA, I did kind of want to reassure you. It said they told me that we are committing to a process, not a specific outcome. So there is no requirement if we end up not passing anything or things don't get voted to move forward. There's no, negative consequences to that. This is just something that allows us to have kind of the funding to pursue these various avenues. So I just wanted to share that. And if there's any questions,
does anyone have any questions?
Is there any cost to this?
No.
What would be the expected outcome?
It's up to us. So there's, they just asked that you choose at least one, which I did list 8 of them. So it's allowing missing middle housing types as a permitted use in residential zones, create pre-reviewed design plans for missing middle, increasing density, heights, all those things, kind of allowing us to explore those recommendations that were, you just heard from the land use reform group. But no, I think we get to dictate the process. As far as they're just providing us with technical assistance and a consultant to allow us to explore these, come up with proposed ordinances. They will review kind of what we have on the books already and kind of give us some potential options to choose from. And so I don't think there's any downside that we're not, there's no cost to it. It's being provided to us. Again, I don't know if we would be selected, but I assume, I would hope we would be.
When you say we, you mean the county?
Sorry, yes, the county, yes. And you, the county council would be the ones to decide kind of which of those options we want to pursue, but I think most of them align with what the reform.
I was going to say, can we get some technical assistance?
Yes, it will be for you. I will probably be the liaison, but yes, that would be, yeah, for sure. Right.
Thanks, Brandon.
Okay, anyone else?
Any idea of the timeline, how long this would take to get anything concrete?
So my understanding is that they will notify the jurisdictions that are selected in November, and then in early 2026, we'll begin engaging with the consultant. So they are gonna do an RFP on their own. Delaware State Housing Authority will put out an RFP for a consulting agency. So McCormick Taylor, for example, could apply to be the consultant that they work with.
Right. Begin engaging next year?
Early.
And how long does that take?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I think kind of as long as we need it to. I'm not sure how much funding will allow, but it sounds like it's a pretty, at least 6 months.
Just wondering how long it would be before we had something actionable that we could look at.
Right. I would have to get back to you on in terms of how.
Probably middle of next year at the earliest.
I think that sounds like makes sense, yeah.
There's been talk of bringing in a consultant of sorts, like a professional consultant that does this nationwide. This be in-house, somebody inside of DSHA or?
No, they will be consulting with an external planning firm that would then be available to us like on a retainer type of situation.
That sounds pretty good.
We'd be setting the parameters on really what we're looking for in this county, correct?
Yes. So I envision you kind of looking at the recommendations that we saw last week or others, and then we dictate what we want to explore. So we are not being told by the state or anyone else what we have to do. Mm-hmm. You guys can tell me to, we decide what we would like to pursue. And again, there's no obligation. So even if it ends up where we can't decide on an ordinance or it doesn't pass, there's no negative consequences to that. That's my understanding.
Should ask for her in January.
Okay. Do you have a resolution?
I do have a resolution for your consideration. That is part of the application submission. So I guess, may I just read the short title? Resolution to support and approve an application being submitted to Delaware State Housing Authority to provide a technical assistance provider to facilitate at least one zoning land use reform that expands affordable housing options.
Okay, pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Cornabell. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Cornabell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I'll vote yes, motion carried. Thank you very much. Next, Mr. Mark Parker. Morning.
Push the button. Good morning again.
There you go.
So here this morning to present change order number two on what I would characterize as a mission critical advanced sewer relocation initiative. It's being done in support of the state's proposed Kings Highway roadway widening project in Lewis. And just as a reminder, you've touched it twice, the project itself had been identified in the preliminary design phase to impact our 30-inch transmission force main along the roadway in a lot of different areas. So ultimately the decision was made that a full relocation was necessary along the corridor. The county took the initiative to work with the state to develop a two-phased relocation off-alignment sewer structure that would be significantly less expensive, also be less disruptive during the actual construction of the project. So the state agreed with the concepts that we had come up with, and in addition to saving money, obviously a key benefit to us, the county, is replacement of a aging sewer transmission utility. So very important. So I mentioned you touched it a couple times. The first was the original agreement award to Christiana Excavating earlier in April. That's for phase one of the project, which is under construction right now. We also had change order one approved by council last month. The project in general is progressing well. It's on schedule. The contractor's goal is to complete everything by the end of this year for phase one, so we're pleased with that. The second change order in your packet reflects well point dewatering needed along a portion of the sewer alignment due to excessive groundwater conditions encountered. It was not included in the original agreement. The The proposed change order amount of $69,375 includes an add deduct unit cost component that will account for a potential longer or hopefully shorter duration needed for dewatering operations. So at this point, the engineering department, in coordination with the finance department, concurs with the CO as presented. And unless anybody has any questions on it, I do have a motion to read for its approval.
Okay, please give us your motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering and Finance Departments that change order number 2 for Christiana Excavating Company's base contract for the Kings Highway Advanced Utility Relocation Project be approved, increasing the contract amount by $69,375, with said amount to be adjusted if needed based on monthly pump rental rates, and also being contingent upon DLDOT's final concurrence.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Cornabau.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Patrick Brown. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. President and County Council. We have a project to present to you today, the what we're referred to as the Warwick Park Sewer Expansion. You've seen it a few times as the financing packages have come through. There have been two. This was separated essentially into a phase one and phase two. There's three communities, Warwick Cove and Gold Point, that operate on existing on-site treatment systems that our forces have been contract operating now for some time. The second phase is then a septic elimination in the Warwick Park community. What we have been able to progress is the phase one component, which is to construct a pump station on the Warwick Cove easement that was secured, then we'll extend gravity sewer. At the culmination of the phase one construction, we'll be able to tie the Warwick Cove community and the Gold Point community into our sewer system. Phase two is under design and permitting. We'll look to move that forward later. But we did solicit bids for construction. We had a good seven contractors bid the project. We have a motion to award the project today. We also have a second motion for a limited on-call construction administration services with the consultant of record for the project.
Okay, Mr. Moore, do we need to do those separately?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, would you give us your first motion?
Sure thing. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that contract S24-13 Warwick Sewer Project Phase 1 be awarded to Adel Construction for their total bid amount of $1,387,948, contingent upon DENREC concurrence.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The second one is be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number 3 to the base contract for George Miles and Burr be approved in a not to exceed amount of $35,000.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. This has been an ongoing thing for quite a while now.
This would be good.
It's wrapped up.
I would say a year's worth of construction, give or take. Hopefully we'll get this first phase, and you should hopefully see the second phase. We're targeting probably about mid next year.
Very good.
Thank you.
See you.
Next, Mr. Medlars.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members. Unlike the ordinance relating to the affordable housing and all the other things which has been in process, I think you have been prompted by the storm events of the earlier of this year and the presentations, the drone pictures, et cetera, to take action in two worlds. In the world of limiting erosion and the subsequent sediment transport into the waterways of the county, and more so also the limiting of the limit of disturbance, you know, like how much earth do we open up at any given time for any given project. So to that effect, you looked at, you had a presentation from originally the Conservation District, then by the Engineering Department, two with follow-ups in between. You gave us some clear instructions, which items you felt were important. You want to definitely pursue. You gave us the instructions which items to put in the parking lot for the time being. So the in the end, you had two desires to draft ordinances. One was on the technical items, and then sort of in, on a later stage, and I think Commissioner McCarron said it best, the enforcement items. Let's see what happens if we put the technical items in place. Is enforcement even needed down the line? So having given that, so we got the action, proceed with the ordinance on that. Mr. Robertson and I worked on this together, and we came up with the ordinance before you today. And there were some feedback, and you've seen a letter from the Conservation District. Commissioner McCarron certainly saw that. He's been at the presentation at the districts, and also the comments again this morning from the administrator for the Conservation District, supporting our efforts and pointing out some, let's say, reference issue Mr. Vincent, Mr. Robertson and I had. So we corrected that, and Clerk of Council is aware of this. But I also wanted to point out before we do before you possibly do the introduction, just a couple of things, why the timelines are the way they are, and how they tie. The ordinance references when it comes to the enhanced sediment capture, an underlying algorithm which is, let's say, it is run within the engineering department, but it's strictly run based on input from the applicants. And when this input is provided, you see these are the input parameters here up top. There's the there's the slope over a certain given distance. There is the upstream drainage area, and there is the distance to the tidal waters. And we all individually and as a unit talked about this criticality of these parameters. So there's several formulas work behind this, and they're tied to weighting factors. There's a calculation of a deciding, and all these things come together in a decision of what the overall score for that site should be. Now, that happens, and keep in mind, that will happen at the very, very early piece of the process. There's no layout, there's a site. We know somebody owns a site, they're willing and interested in developing the site, and they're scheduling this, what's called preliminary conference with our planning director, and at that preliminary conference, a number of things get conveyed from the planning side, such as setbacks, zoning, site requirements, interactions with the agencies, but also from the engineering department. And they have to do with sewer availability, which we actually clarified in the ordinance in a couple of, by adding some definitions for the concept evaluation and also some language to the preliminary conference, but also in terms of should that site be considered for enhanced capture or not. And I think especially Commissioner Lloyd and I discussed, how often would that happen in Western Sussex? I spend a good bit of time looking at various sites there, potential, just looking at the site, looking at the data, I can see the metadata, plugging it in. Other than the dry rig pieces adjoining to the lower parts of the Nanticoke, nothing west of 113 rises to the level that it would trigger that value. So that is sort of like, as you can see, how the topography is different on the natural features on the east side versus the mostly tax ditch type features on the west side. And when you go back really west and you go into the natural features along the lower parts of the Nanticoke again, that's when you see the similar things what you see over there on the east side. So, but again, the key thing here is the timing. This information gets entered at the very, very early stages of the process and conveyed to the applicant. So if it is required, then that can be worked into the design process. So there's no time lost, no money expended, other than, hey, you're picking a specific practice. So, and that is then related to the applicant in that preliminary conference. So when you fast forward, the second thing we have when you're further in the process and you're looking at, should we be considering a reduction in the limit of disturbance? That means at this point, we have a plan, we have a design, we're looking at the individual detailed grading plan which deals with different phases of the subdivision. So when you reach this stage, you know what the proposed slopes will be, and these are bare earth slopes. These are slopes as you grade the site, this is what it would look like. So there's two critical things. How steep are the slopes, and how big is the catchment area upstream? So based on that, we sort of divided the table one into two trigger areas. One, slopes of less than 3, Western Sussex, by the way, slopes are way lower than 3. So, and then the higher slopes. So when you look at both, we will then be able to convey this to the applicant in the design process, and at that point, that's when you record a phasing plan. So now we know we have to limit the phases based on these input parameters. That is part of the ordinance. That is actually in code. That table will be in code. The way you see it here, that's how it goes to public hearing if you introduce it.
Who comes up with that elevation data?
And we can see it when the applicant comes in, when the elevation comes
is
in.
Is that from all those GPS base stations we talked about?
No, this would be actually on the detailed grading plan.
Okay.
Yes.
I gotcha.
No. So these are the two triggers. The third one you authorized was the buffers. And we all understand there is two buffer zones, buffer zone A, buffer zone B, based on the various distances we have. They have tables in the code already. So before, we did not allow the averaging of zone B beyond 50% and did not allow the concentration of it in critical areas for runoff. You've seen the examples, you've seen the benefits. That's in the ordinance. Here's your three legs. Buffer concentration, catchment area limitation, or limit of disturbance limitations, and last not least, improving the sediment catchment. So, they're different in time. And you remember we talked about we're telling you what catchment to use, what practice to use for the better catchment, enhanced catchment. The same thing would be for the buffering. At the preliminary conference, the engineering department would tell you, this is what's needed for the buffering. It will apply. We tell you where it goes. So again, no effort has been expended because this conference happens at the very first step. By the way, it is months, if not a year, ahead of the conference, the pre-application conference the district holds. So these things, they happen to have preliminary in the title and pre, but they're timeline-wise months apart. So that's important, and we clarify that with the district. And so everybody now knows how the timelines work and where the input happens.
So Hans, who determines those catching methods, like there's several different ones we talked about.
Yes, there's several different ones. As you know, the regulations, the DNREG regulations, allow 7 different ones. 3 of them work for the enhanced capture. So as we see the site specifics, the input data on the top.
Right. Yeah.
That's when we, the engineering department, would look at it and say, okay, wet pond will work best for this particular.
Oh, I see.
That's when we tell them, hey, for this particular proposed subdivision, we want enhanced capture, and we will say you will use wet pond in your design. So it doesn't change how you design a wet pond. It doesn't change any of the DENREG regulation. Right. It only changes, we tell you that's what you need to use, and we will use, and you have to have it in place when you have bare earth, and you have to route your bare earth runoff into the practice.
And that's our engineering department that determines that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Here we go.
I'm glad you did it.
If you're ready, I'm ready if you're ready.
I've talked somewhat to the Conservation District, and I know you've had conversations with them. Sounds like you're tracking on the same page. The only question was, in my mind, who enforces this? Do they, or do you, or the county?
Let's stay with this one here.
Okay.
We made, and that's the big we, engineering department looks at the site. The data supports enhanced catchment. We say wet ponds required. We tell them right up front. We communicate that exact, it's in the code. We communicate with the district. An application comes in for that site, and it has infiltration. So both the applicant, the engineer of the applicant, and the district know you are supposed to use wet pond. So the review comment back to the applicant would be one line, wrong practice, try again. So here's your enforcement. So it is a clear cut, the enforcement of the design of the design review remains where it is, because the district is the delegated agency. However, if the design comes in incorrectly based on the county's right to make a selection, they will automatically reject it. Now, I cannot imagine you're going to be that stupid, let's put it this way, and ignore the county's law and make a submission which is not based in our ordinance. But just, I went through this with David last week and yesterday. Yes, if you're that stupid, applicant,
so it sounds like a shared responsibility.
No, it's not. On this here, we enforce our law, our ordinance enforces the selection of the practice.
Okay.
The design review authority still will remain with the district, as it always has. So if the applicant chooses to ignore the county, all the district does refer back to us.
Okay, all right.
So if you want to look at the enforcement of the limit of disturbance, right?
Mm-hmm.
We review the detailed grading plans.
Right.
We record the phasing plans. We enforce that. So if a design comes in and we determine the phasing plan must have a lower limit of disturbance, i.e. be less than 20 acres per phase, that is enforcement with rest with us and only with us, because the district does not have that authority.
Okay.
So yes, we discussed both of these.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Like Councilman Riley, certainly I've had conversations with the Conservation District, and in my position, I had to rely on, you know, the content experts such as yourself in the engineering department and our friends at the Sussex Conservation District. And at the county level, we've enjoyed a great working relationship with the Sussex Conservation District, and I appreciate the efforts of yourself and the county staff. Look forward to hearing from the Sussex Conservation District, ensuring this proposed ordinance is agreeable to the district and has their full support. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All right, so this just needs to be introduced, right?
Just have one member introduce it, and
okay,
we'll get the public hearing scheduled.
Anyone want to introduce it?
I'll introduce it.
Okay.
We all introduce it.
You're
jumping
four introductions here.
You're jumping ahead of yourself. No one has read the ordinance yet, have they?
Everybody wants to introduce.
We'd like the short title.
You go ahead.
Yes, please read the short title.
Yes.
I will read it. I have to participate somehow this morning in this. An ordinance to amend chapters 90, section 90-3, 90-6, and to add new section 90-8, 90-9, and 90-10. Chapter 99, articles 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6, sections 99-5, 99-7, 99-9, 99-23, 99-26, and 99-29. Chapter 110, articles 1 and 3, sections 110-1 and 110-12. And chapter 115, articles 1 and 25, section 115-4 and 115-193 of the Code of Sussex County regarding sediment releases and sediment control and stormwater management.
That's all you got?
Did you repeat that?
I was writing those down.
Ms. Cornell, do you still want to introduce it?
I do, yes, sir.
Okay.
All its complexity.
Ms. Kernbaum introduces it.
And for everybody's benefit who may be watching, because it touches on 99 and 115, it will go to Planning and Zoning and County Council for Public
Hearing. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Next up, old business. Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of Council. We have two items of old business today. The first is change of zone number 2001, filed on behalf of Bellmead Farm LLC. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held at Council's meeting of September 16th of this year. We put it on the agenda today just to provide you an update on the actions following that meeting. County Council may recall that at the conclusion of the meeting, Council held the record open for a period of 2 weeks to submit and formulate questions to be sent to state agencies. And then the record was to be held open for a further period of 2 weeks to allow the state agencies to respond. And then following receipt of those comments, there was a further component of that motion that then there'd be an additional 2 weeks for members of the public to comment on those additional responses that have been received from the state. So to provide an update, I can confirm that did happen. So Council submitted their comments within 14 days. And then we did receive responses from Delaware Department of Transportation and the State Forester. They were received within the 14-day period, and they have been uploaded to the County Council's docket, land use docket online, and are available for public viewing. That happened last Tuesday by end of business. And then per County Council's motion, members of the public still have another 7 days in which to comment. They have until the end of business next Tuesday, after which the record will automatically close. So it was just to provide an update on that.
And again, that's for public comment only.
Correct, on the additional questions.
Seven more days.
Correct, so you couldn't submit additional comments on anything. It has to be relative to the new information that's come back from the state.
Yes, it was specifically the public is able to comment on that information that was submitted in response to the questions that you submitted to the agencies. So there is another 7 days that the public can still respond. That has to be in writing or email to Planning and Zoning Office by 4:30 next Tuesday. At that point, the record closes. Mr. White, we don't have a meeting next week. Mr. Whitehouse will have this on the agenda for the following meeting for the purposes, again, of updating to make sure that you've seen that the record did automatically close and that all the information was updated. And it's typical that there not be a vote on that time. It's update only, and it would be then placed on the schedule for a vote at a later time.
Okay, so there's no further action to be taken on this, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Next item of all business is conditional use number 2568, filed on behalf of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Southern Delaware. And County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held at its meeting of September 16th of this year. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an on-premise electronic message center sign, an EMC, to be located on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9. And County Council may recall that it deferred action on the application for further consideration.
Okay. More?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an on-premises electronic message center sign to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 5.91 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 7. And it is my understanding there may be a request to make an amendment to add an additional condition.
Okay, Ms. Gornabout?
Yes, I would like to make a condition. Prior to that, though, I would like to point out or emphasize a condition already placed on this, which is condition six in the approval from planning and zoning, that the recommendation for approval is subject to all state and county agency approvals, including but not limited to Delaware Department of Transportation. I call that out in particular because there seems to be some confusion about what is allowed with regard to these kinds of signs on scenic byways. So I just wanted to emphasize that that condition is important and is already in there. Secondly, I would like to offer a condition.
And if you would like, this approval subject to the sign being turned off at 10 p.m. each evening through 7 a.m. the next morning.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to offer that as a condition.
Okay, we have a motion.
So, question. Have we resolved the legal question of whether these are allowed or?
There is a question whether or not they are. That is not our jurisdiction to give the permits or not. So we're voting, this vote would be strictly on the issue of what we have as land use, and then it would have to go to DLDOT, just like it would for any road conditions on anything else that we do.
Yes, and that's why I emphasize that one condition, because
correct,
that distinctly calls out that DLDOT has to consider this and resolve the issue. There's a portion that says it's not allowed.
In essence, we're saying if it's okay with you, it's okay with us.
Well, I want DLDOT to
sign off on
to
it.
Sign off on it.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, we have a motion.
Or not.
For an amendment. We have a second.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the amendment only? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Quirnbaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCare?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And I'll read the short title again. An ordinance granting a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an on-premises electronic message center sign to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Bing in Sussex County containing 5.91 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning, zoning, and this council with their addition 1 through 8.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move to adopt.
Motion, Ms. Quirnbaum?
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions on that? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Quirnbaum.
So before I vote, I do want to make a statement that if I were queen of the universe, none of these signs would exist. I find them distracting, and I find them intrusive on people's lives. Having said that, I will vote in favor of the proposal as amended.
Okay. Mr. McCare. Sorry, I'm doing three things here at one time.
That was me. Based upon the testimony heard during the presentation and the recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Based on the testimony given at the hearing and recommendation by PNZ, I vote yes.
Mr. Riley.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning, I will vote yes as amended.
I also agree with PNZ, and I will vote yes as amended. Motion carried. Okay, next we'll move on to grant requests. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Urban Youth Golf Program Association is requesting $1,710 to expand their school and community program into the Seaford Central Elementary School and Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club. Last grant received for this program was $750 for the expansion into the Seaford area for Mr. Vincent and Mr. Lloyd placed on the agenda.
Mr. Lloyd.
Sorry, let me pull this up real quick. They're requesting $1,710?
That's correct.
The last grant was $750, correct?
That is correct.
So, Gina, I'm good. I'm good for $1,000 on this.
Mr. Lloyd's a motion to grant $1,000 from his account. Here's a second.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Quirnbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next grant on the agenda is the Downtown Seaford Association is requesting $2,000 for their annual Christmas parade. Last grant received for this event was in the amount of $1,250 from Mr. Vincent and Mr. Lloyd, placed on the agenda.
Mr. Lloyd?
I'll do $1,500 on this.
All right, motion Mr. Lloyd to grant $1,500 from his account.
I'd like to do $500 from the second district.
Okay. And to adding to that, $500 from Mr. McCarron's account. So we have a total of $2,000. We have a second?
Second.
Motion Mr. Lloyd, second Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Quinterbell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is Seaford Tomorrow is requesting $5,000 for their Friday Night Live event. Funds will go towards operating expenses. Last grant received for this event was $2,000 from Mr. Vincent and Mr. Lloyd, placed on the agenda.
I'd like to do $3,000, please.
Motion Mr. Lloyd to grant $3,000 from his account. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Quinterbell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. Next one is Sussex County Science Fair is requesting $2,000 for their 2025-26 Science Fair. Last funds will be used for the scholarship opportunities. Children from all school districts are eligible. Last grant received for this event was in the amount of $1,000 from the Countywide Youth Program. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda, and this grant still qualifies for a Countywide Youth Grant.
You want to do four?
What was the request again?
The request was $2,000 and $1,000 from last time.
I'll let you make the motion, but
what would be appropriate, $2,000 from the youth grant?
I would keep it to what we usually give them, just because we run out of countywide youth grant.
I know you have a budget, so I want to be sure we're...
Yes, $1,000 would be appropriate.
Okay, I will make a motion for $1,000 from the countywide youth grant.
Motion, Mr. Riley, to grant $1,000 from his or from the youth account.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Oh, Ms. Quinterbell?
No, it's fine, sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's good enough.
Okay. We'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Quinterbell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next one is the Jason Anderson Foundation for Youth Sports. It's requesting $1,500 to help cover sports registration fees for children in need throughout the county. There are no previous grants to this organization. This grant qualifies for a countywide youth grant. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Do we have a figure?
They asked for $1,500, and it still qualifies for countywide youth.
Yes.
So that fits in the budget?
It does.
Okay, and we'll make a motion for $1,500 from the countywide youth grant.
Okay, motion Mr. Riley.
Second.
Grant $1,500 from the youth count. Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is Cape Henlopen Education Foundation is requesting $3,000 for their teacher grant program. Last grant received for this organization was in the amount of $2,000, which was $1,000 for Mr. Hudson and $1,000 for Mr. Schaefer. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Okay, I would move to grant $1,000 from District 4's account.
I'll do $1,000 from District 3.
Okay, we have a total of $2,000. A motion for $2,000. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Quinterbell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, and the last one is Sussex County Land Trust is requesting $1,500 for their 25th anniversary event, celebrating 25 years of preserving Sussex. The last grant received for this organization was $3,000 for the Dogfish Dash, which was $1,000 for Ms. Grunebaum, $1,000 for Mr. Riley, $500 for Mr. Hudson, and $500 for Mr. McCarron. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
I probably should have checked with the other members before this morning, but I mean, I'm willing to grant 1,500, but if anyone wants to share that with me, I'd be happy to.
I'll share.
Want to do 750 each? Yeah. Unless someone else wants to. I'll make the motion that to grant $750 from my account.
And $750 from my account.
Okay, and what did we do last time, Mr. Jennings?
They're asking for 1,500. There was no grants in the past.
Okay. All right, we have a motion to grant $750, or no, $1,500 to this, and $750 from Mr. Riley and $750 from Ms. Grunebaum. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Mr. Lloyd, any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next is introduction of proposed ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There were three that were advertised and in the packet, but there are two have been withdrawn. That was in Councilwoman Grunebaum's district. So we have the one that is in Mr. McCarron's district, an ordinance grant, a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to amend conditional use number 705 to allow for an expansion of an existing campground to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 21.93 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. McCarron introduces it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Council member comments. Council member comments. Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. We're going to entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss land acquisition and pending litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. We are now in executive session.